This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن كان أصحاب الأيكة لظالمين فانتقمنا منهم وإنهما لبإمام مبين وقال تعالى فأخذهم عذاب يوم الظلة إنه كان عذاب يوم عظيم إن في ذلك لآية وما كان أكثرهم مؤمنين وإن ربك لهو العزيز الرحيم وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين إلا أن تكونوا باكين حذرا من أن يصيبكم مثل ما أصابهم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, I was reading one kitab in this week about lecturing, about orators, and about different orators in the annals of Islamic history. And I found a very beautiful quotation to which I could relate. There was a person who used to speak and lecture amongst people, yet he was fully aware about his weaknesses. So one day he was sitting, just silent, I guess just reflecting, contemplating, introspecting. So someone came to him and told him, Abu Uthman, give us some advice. Abu Uthman, give us some advice. He replied by saying, وَغَيْرُ تَقِيٍّ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتَّقِيِّ طَبِيبٌ يُدَاوِي وَالطَّبِيبُ عَلِيلُ وَغَيْرُ تَقِيٍّ يَأْمُرُ النَّاسَ بِالتَّقِيِّ A person who lacks piety yet is advocating piety. In essence, it is like a doctor who is treating others yet he is sick himself. And that is exactly the sentiments that I can echo today. مَوَاعِذُ الْوَاعِذِ لَن تُقْبَلَ حَتَّى يَعِيهَا قَلْبُهُ أَوَّلًا يا قوم من أظلم من واعظ خالف ما قد قاله في الملا أظهر بين الناس إحسانه وبارز الرحمن لما خلا The poet says the advice of no lecturer can be beneficial until his heart does not absorb it before others. Can there be any person more unjust than that one who speaks about the greatness of Allah in public venues yet contradicts himself in his private life and disobeys Allah? Respected brothers and elders, if we look at the sifat and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find that one is the name of Allah, that is Ismazat, and the others are the qualities of Allah. قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِدُعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ قُلِ دُعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِدُعُوا الرَّحْمَانِ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى Whether you say Allah or you say Rahman, these are different names of the same being. عباراتنا شتى وحسنك واحد وكل إلى ذاك الجمال يشير Oh Allah, our expressions might differ, but I guess your beauty is one. Our expressions might differ. One of the many qualities of Allah Ta'ala is Haleem. What does Haleem mean? Allah Ta'ala is a forbearant being. Allah is one who perseveres. Who despite having the ability of punishing, penalizing, destroying, yet Allah withholds Himself. Allah does not react emotionally to situations. And Allah's quality of tolerance and forbearance knows no limits. Allah Ta'ala's grace, Allah's respite, Allah's clemency has allowed people to make the claims and the statements, ذَرُونِي أَقْتُلْ مُوسَى وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهُ Leave me alone, I'm going to kill Musa. And he can call his Allah and his Allah can do me nothing. Not that Allah condoned the statement. Allah's clemency gave grace and allowance to these statements. Allah's grace and Allah's forbearance allowed people to make statements to Nuh alayhi salam. قَالُوا يَا نُوحُ قَدْ جَادَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Listen, Nuh, you have threatened us repeatedly regarding the chastisement of your Lord. We now openly challenge you and dare you, let us see what your Allah can do to us. Allah's tolerance, Allah's forbearance allowed the statements of Nadhr ibn Harith. إِن كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرَ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ ائْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. That, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you claim to be the true prophet, we are openly violating what you say, as you have warned us that Allah is capable of sending down the sky to collapse on us. We now challenge you, do it and show it to us. So throughout the times and the ages, Allah ta'ala gave such grace. When Allah gave this grace, man foolishly interpreted the grace as if Allah condoned the wrong he did. Well, we're doing what we're doing. I don't see any change in my life. I see no tragedies. I see no catastrophes. I see no setback. I doubt the Almighty has a problem with what I do. وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. The Yahud used to come and greet Nabi alayhi salam, and they never used to say assalamu alayk, they used to say assalamu alayk. May death come upon you, O Muhammad. In ambiguity of speech, not very explicit, using vague language, but of course Allah revealed their ulterior motives. Then they used to go on and say, if he was a true prophet, the Almighty would have punished us for invoking curses upon him. We repeatedly curse him, yet no tragedy comes upon us. I guess he's not a prophet. The words of the Quran, لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. Why doesn't Allah punish us for what we do? So a youngster meets another youngster, join us tonight. No, I don't go to such places. Hey, my friend, I'm going for the last 10 years. Nothing has happened, man. Nothing has happened. Like I was listening to this one American scholar, revered, mashallah, he spoke so beautifully. He says, brothers, when the children come of responsibility, age of responsibility, get them married. Otherwise, if you won't get them married, then he'll be looking and she'll be looking, and when mom and dad are not looking, they'll be hooking. Get them married. Otherwise, he'll be looking, she'll be looking, and when mom and dad won't be looking, they'll be hooking. What did the kuffar of Makkah say? وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ نَحْنُ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِن دُونِهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. They said, if Allah had a problem with what we did, He would have prevented us. Why hasn't He divinely stopped us? Allah Himself says that He has given man choice. إِنَّ شَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If we wanted, we could send down a clear-cut, convincing, compelling miracle, which will leave man with no choice but to accept. However, our wisdom did not opt for this. So Allah's grace and Allah's clemency allowed man, not that Allah condoned it, allowed man to do this. Man foolishly felt that he's got divine approval. Like it comes in the hadith, to give you another example, you have visitors at home, the children abuse the situation. Because they are visitors, they drive their parents to the limits, and the father, oh, no problem, my boy. And inside he knows what blood he's swallowing. Okay, just play with your cousin. And then he shows those big eyes occasionally. And he goes on doing. I remember once I was in London at one brother's place, and vividly I can picture how these children were actually irritating and intimidating the father, but I guess my presence was an obstacle for the father to discipline the child. How foolish will it be for this child? How foolish will it be for this child to assume my action correct because my father is telling me nothing. So he drops the glass, he messes the paint, he takes out the toys he wasn't supposed to. He does everything that is unbecoming of him. And he feels, well, my father is saying nothing, so I don't think there is a problem. Allah Himself says, oh man, you are doing such wrong. But I also have certain visitors. And because of those visitors, I'm not destroying you. Who are the visitors of Allah? لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّ وَصِبِيَانٌ رُدَّ وَبَهَائِمٌ رُدَّ وَشُيُوخٌ رُكَّ لَصُبَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَذَابُ صُبَّ لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّ. Listen, humanity in its entirety, if it wasn't for those white bearded people, the words of the hadith, لَوْلَا رِجَالٌ خُشَّ وَصِبِيَانٌ رُدَّ, and those innocent children that have been suckled by their mothers, رَضِيُّ وَبَهَائِمٌ رُدَّ, and the innocent animals in the jungles, these are my visitors. If it wasn't for these categories, لَصُبَّ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَذَابُ صُبَّ, never mind one tsunami, I would have poured my azab on you every moment of yours. These are my visitors, and because of them I have withheld my azab. But your every action justifies and provokes my anger. مَا أَحَدٌ أَصْبَرَ عَلَىٰ أَذًى مِنَ اللَّهِ يَدْعُونَ لَهُ الْوَلَدِ ثُمَّ يُعَافِيهِمْ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ. There is none that is more tolerant and more forbearing than Allah. They associate partners unto Allah. Yet Allah sustains them, nourishes them and gives them help. So occasionally when we are very kind and faithful and passive towards our children, we need to hit them to say, hey, he mustn't think I cannot hit. I can show him I'm still in control. Occasionally Allah gives us a tsunami. And I think this word presently is symbolic to azab and symbolic to tragedies. And Allah brings about these natural occurrences in a diplomatic tone, which defies human intellect, which defies human logic, which contradicts scientific research, to prove that I am in control. Maulana Muhammad Umar Saab rahimahumullah nawwar Allahu marqadahu used to say, never mind when an earthquake takes place, that the earth is in Allah's control. It's not that the earth is out of Allah's control. He says, never mind humans, only that amount of ants will die in that earthquake, how much Allah has decided and decreed. Only that amount of ants, precisely to the proportion of Allah. So Allah sends about these situations. I was in Canada when the tsunami took place. And the next day I was hopping onto a flight to Amsterdam. So I took the paper as is routine and I just browsed through. I read an article, I guess it featured across the globe, and it took the front page of every newspaper. An article, and there was a woman whose words were reflected, and these were the words that she said, God, we did you nothing, why did you do this to us? Wal'iyadu billah. We did you nothing, why did you do this to us? The calm oceans, the passive water, the wonderful breeze, the smooth ripples of the water. And when the order of Allah came, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ. When the fire will emerge from the oceans, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. When that innocent child who was buried alive, in present day terminology, who was aborted, will be given life. بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. What was the crime you committed that your parents mercilessly killed you? Allah speaks about what will happen to this water, how rough it will become. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُسْكِنِ الرِّيحَ فَيَظْلَلْنَ رَوَاكِدَ عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ. In the center of the ocean, Allah says, I can cause the wind to stop, and you are now stationed, and you are mobile. You have been stationed, and you cannot move. You are not mobile. You've been jammed up. What happens to you at that time? ربكم الذي يزجي لكم الفلك في البحر لتبتغوا من فضله إنه كان بكم رحيما. It is your Lord that causes the ship to sail in the water. Then Allah explains so beautifully. وإذا مسكم الضر في البحر ضل من تدعون إلا إياه. Yet when you enveloped by a storm in the center of the ocean and death surrounds you and crisis around you, then you abandon all your false deities and you turn to one Allah alone. فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ. When He grants you deliverance from the rough waters, from the high tides, and He takes you to shore, أَعْرَضْتُمْ, you abandon Allah. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا. If I may translate this in a simplified version, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ كَفُورًا, it's not the first time, you always do this. Then Allah says again, أَفَأَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يَقْصِفَ بِكُمْ جَانِبَ الْبَرِّ أَوْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا. When that happened to the water, so what happens? One brother said, now when I was in Cape Town, so he was telling me about, it was actually a company from Botswana that was there and they had a conference, so they invited us. So he says, I went for my holiday and I was at the ocean, and when this thing happened, I realized it, and from that day onwards, I caught my ears, I will never go back to the waters. So what does Allah say in this verse? Am amintum, afa amintum an yakhsifa bikum janib albar. Do you think you only in His control when you're in the water? Don't you know this land also belongs to Him? This land also belongs to Him. An yakhsifa bikum janib albar. If this is what the water can do, the land can do the same. It's His command. Or أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ أَنْ يُعِيدَكُمْ فِيهِ تَارَةً أُخْرَىٰ. Or He can return you back into the water and bring back the same crisis upon you. So occasionally Allah Rabbul Izzat sends these situations to revive man, to awaken man. And Allah shows it to us as the Quran says, أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Allah speaks of three forms of azab. That Allah can cause the earth to split and swallow them. أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Or they will be seized by a torment from an angle they can least perceive. The ayat al-kareema that I recited before you, Allah speaks about a divine torment that came on the people of Aika. Aika means a place densely populated by trees, which was a nation to which Shuaib alayhi salam had been sent. And they were guilty of fraudulent deals in their commerce and their trade. Shuaib alayhi salam repeatedly encouraged them that obey Allah, but to no avail. Allah sent extreme heat upon them. Extreme heat. وَإِن كَانَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَيْكَةِ لَظَالِمِينَ فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ وَإِنَّهُمَا لَبِإِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. Extreme heat that it became unbearable for the people to stay indoors. In the nearby locality, Allah sent a cloud, and from that cloud came a gentle breeze. Like Allah speaks of the nation of Aad, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا. As the cloud came, they said, here comes the cloud that will give us rain. Allah said, رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. No, in that cloud there is a wind which has been commanded to destroy everything. In Musnad Ahmad, there is a riwayat, Nabi alayhi salam says that Allah says that if my servants feared me, lam usmi'humu ar-ra'du, never mind sending floods upon them, I would never let them hear the sound of thunder also. Recently we had severe thunder in our country, which was recorded to be the worst in 40 years. Allah titles one chapter in the Quran as Ra'd, only on thunder. يُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ. Allah says that thunder also praises me. اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك ولا تهلكنا بعذابك وعافنا قبل ذلك. The dua on thunder, Nabi alayhi salam says, اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك. Allah, don't destroy me with your azab. ولا تهلكنا بعذابك. Allah, do not ruin me with your torment. وَعَافِنَا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. Grant me security before that azab comes. So Allah says, I would have not even made them hear the sound of thunder. In the nearby locality, Allah sent a cloud. From that cloud, there was a gentle breeze, which naturally attracted people. And people assembled and congregated and converged at this particular location. When they gathered, hastening towards their supposedly cool, gentle breeze. فَأَخَذَهُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمِ الظُّلَّةِ Allah sent fire from that cloud and seized them all. They were overpowered by a gloomy cloud. إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ What they assumed, everybody that was sitting there, everyone was there on holiday, on recreation, on entertainment, on enjoyment, on pleasure. In this manner they were relaxing. And what happened the next day? What is the verses of the Quran? كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا أَلَا إِنَّ ثَمُودَ كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ أَلَا بُعْدًا لِثَمُودَ أَلَا إِنَّ عَادًا كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ Allah says, I destroyed people in such a manner as if individuals and nations of that name never existed. هَلْ تُحِسُّ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَوْ تَسْمَعُ لَهُمْ رِكْزًا Never mind talk or run or claim or boast. Can you even hear them whisper? رِكْزَ الصَّوْتُ الْخَفِي So respected brothers and elders, what I am saying is that Allah's level of tolerance, Allah's level of perseverance allows and gives grace and gives clemency for so much wrong to happen. Man foolishly interprets Allah's grace as if Allah condones the wrong he is doing. The topic of discussion has been titled, Are We Facing a Tsunami? Meaning, are we attracting an azab, if I may understand it correctly? We learn from the Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that never mind perpetrating a crime, never mind perpetrating a sin, the very thought of guna, the very thought of sin has destroyed people. Allah speaks about it in Quran, I will make mention. Allah speaks about in Surah Noon, about a father who was a very wonderful, pious man and had a beautiful garden and had a wonderful farm. He used to, every time it was time to harvest the crops, the old man had a wonderful habit that the poor people used to come, he used to harvest his crops, he used to give the poor people without taking any money from them, the remaining a portion for his family and the others he used to sell. In this way he was surviving with whatever Allah gave him. The beggars were getting some basic provision from him and his business was continuing. When the old man died, the children inherited the farm of their father and assumed they were intelligent. Let's have that in inverted commas, assumed that they were intelligent. And perhaps we are in control over the situation. And what did they say? فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ They said, no, we have to do away with the practice of the old man. So what we do, we go early, very early in the morning. We harvest the crops. By the time the poor people come, there's nothing left. If they want, they must pay. In doing so, we will save ourselves so much. We will make so much money. You know, one day I was somewhere, I cannot recall, one brother told me a very nice thing. He says that this person sent his son to go and study and he became an accountant or perhaps he became an actuary and he returned. Then he looked at the finance of his father. He says, oh, my father, you know the way you give in charity, I guess insolvency is on its way, bankruptcy is on its way and very soon you will become a pauper. So the father told the son, listen, my boy, all your academic skills and competence is in its place. Let me give you some logical statistics. You tell me, you take a dog and you take a sheep. Which one gives birth more? When they give birth to two, three, sheep gives birth to one, perhaps maximum two, dog gives birth to many puppies at a time. Which one do we slaughter every year? Say, we slaughter sheep. What do you see more, sheep or dogs? What do you see more, sheep or dogs? So this is, leave it in your own place, in your own understanding. There is something like barakat which cannot be understood through an academic mind. It cannot be understood through this year. Many people assume that moving from one shop to another shop is barakat. Allah's Qasam, this is a deception and a delusion. Then I guess these chain stores have the biggest barakat. But their engagement and their engrossment, you look into their lives. I spoke about suicide recently. Some statistics. The world is supposedly progressing and not retrogressing. Yet they say, I read an article, the amount of Americans that plan suicide is more than those who die as a result of the 5 deadly diseases combined. The amount of Americans who plan suicide. There was an article just about 2 weeks ago in the Star, it was an anti-suicide week. Girls between the age of 16 and 19 plan suicide more than boys. Anyone under the age of 30, approximately 25 youngsters commit suicide in this country daily, that is the statistics. Which potentially will claim the lives of 7,000 people this year. So we were supposedly progressing, yet there is no more pleasure left in life. I read an article regarding Napoleon. In the latter part of his life, he took some stock taking of his life. He says, I can barely recall 6 happy days in my life. I can barely see 6 happy days in my life. So barakat comes with contentment, with inner joy and satisfaction. Anyway, this was the plan of the children. What was their plan? We will deprive youngsters. They took the reins of the business. We now in control. That is what Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, if you look at it, and you weigh the mentality of the youth of today, you listen to the arrogance of the youth of today, you listen to the haughtiness and the pride of the youth of today. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam spoke to his son, Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana wa la takum ma'al kafirin. Listen my son, for today leave your logic and join me. I doubt anyone will be saved from Allah's azab. Listen to me. قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ. You know, you can actually see a fatherly discussion with his son. What's the response of the son? سَآوِي إِلَى جَبَلْ. No, I know something. My father, you don't know. There is a mountain which you haven't heard about. It's my hideout. I always hang around there with my buddies in today's terminology. I will take shelter on the zenith of that mountain. يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَا. It will definitely protect me against the water. Again, the Nabi intervenes. Listen, my son, don't apply your logic. This is Allah's azab. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. Again, water. And you know, Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes so beautiful. When he speaks about the army of Allah, the tsunami we see in water, the earthquake, we see divine tragedies. As the Quran says regarding the time of Nuh alayhi salam, فَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فَفَتَحْنَا أَبَوَابَ السَّمَاءِ بِمَاءٍ مُنْهَمِرٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا الْأَرْضَ عُيُونًا فَالْتَقَى الْمَاءُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ قُدِرٍ. We opened the water, yeah, only from the ground. Allah says, in the time of Nuh, we opened the water from the skies and from the earth. What will happen? The water from the top, the water from the bottom. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَا الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ. What happens as the father and son are discussing, the water comes, separates the father from the son, and the son drowns. The son drowns. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about these youngsters. They planned. They planned that we're going to deprive. We're going to deprive these people. The only thought of a sin. In the night after they did this wrong plan and this plotting of theirs, and these youngsters felt that they were in control over the situation, Allah sent a divine fire and Allah destroyed that entire farm. And they still walking towards the farm, still planning, still planning. The Quran says, فَانْطَلَقُوا. They advance. وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. While they whisper and speak discreetly, تَخَافُتْ. أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. Ensure that no beggar comes close to us. Nothing. Nobody must come. They only planned depriving poor people of a charitable action of their late father, which was enough to attract the wrath of Allah and destroy this and reduce it to ruins. وَغَدَوْا عَلَىٰ حَرْدٍ قَادِرِينَ. When they arrived at that farm, Allah destroyed it in such a way, for a moment they thought perhaps we came to the farm of someone else, as the Quran says. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهَا قَالُوا إِنَّا لَظَالُونَ. No, I think we made a mistake here. We by someone else's farm. They then looked at the distance, their destination. They tried to locate their movements. They realized, we are not ظَالُونَ, بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. We have been divinely deprived. The younger brother sees the opportunity. I told you youngsters, قال ألم أقل لكم لولا تسبحون. I told you, rather take Allah's name. It wasn't the right thing for you to do. Don't get involved in this wrong company. Look at what is the outcome of it. But I guess it was too late. And then they repent to Allah, and Allah then favors them with another garden. What I am saying is that these actions that are continuing, these vices, these wrongs that are happening, Allah's clemency, Allah's grace, Allah's respite, Allah withholds His azab. Allah withholds His azab. People say sometimes something goes wrong. They say, hey, you know, today I must have done something wrong. My brother, not today. Every day you've done something wrong. Only today Allah showed you a glimpse of what you're doing. You did something wrong and I did it. The riwayat comes in Ibn Majah and Abu Dawud. لو أن الله عذب أهل سماواته وأهل أرضه لعذبهم وهو غير ظالم. If Allah's decree comes to destroy everyone, this will be nothing but justice from Allah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when zina will become common, then that nation invites azab with its own actions. Now let us look around us today. Allah forgive, we deal with youth. Maulana spoke about the sin of drugs. What a great evil it has come and crept into society, destroyed and ruined our youth. Now we're facing a challenge on a different level that unfortunately, yesterday I was speaking to one very senior alim in Cape Town, and he was speaking about, wal-iyadu billah, the amount of Muslim youngsters that unfortunately have fallen prey and have become victim to the fitna of gays. وَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مُصْبِحِينَ وَبِاللَّيْلِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah speaks about how you used to pass the nation of Lut. Now, you know, it is so sad that today everything has become a joke. And if you look at these SMSs, I say this, I don't mean to be obscene. Forgive me, but I want to mention this here. The other day, someone, I guess he was just sending this SMS as well. So he sends this SMS to me also. I don't know who he was. Very obscene. Now look at this here. What a tragedy. What a catastrophe the tsunami is. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين. Don't ever enter the dwellings of a nation which have become a victim to divine wrath, but that you hasten your pace, lower your gaze and cry while walking through that locality. With the fear that perhaps you'll be struck with the same tragedy that came upon those that resided there once upon a time. The riwayat of Bukhari. So anyway, what is this SMS? You know, everything is a joke. Nowadays, there is actually, I heard a program recently, this laughing yoga. It's an exercise that they do. You have the milkshake laughter, you have a 1 mile laughter, and statistics prove that in 1950s, people used to laugh 18 minutes a day, now they laugh only 6 minutes a day. Why? Because every time someone laughs, you tell him, hey, it's not something to laugh about, get serious. So, get people into a laughing mood. So, recite Durud Sharif. Anyway, continuing, perhaps it wasn't the right thing to be said. Allahu alam. Recite Durud Sharif again, brothers. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. The SMS comes in the following way. Allah forgive. And I say this here, just to understand how we trivialize such tragedies, such catastrophes, which stare at the entire world on a global level. What is the SMS? What is the similarity between a woman and a tsunami? Listen to this. What is the similarity? Forgive me. I don't want to say it, but I guess it is a forum where I'm addressing the youth. It is a forum and a platform where I'm addressing the youth, and I want to seize the opportunity. Allah forgive me, but I'm saying this only to understand how we trivialize and what attitude out of such a catastrophe. What is the similarity between the tsunami and a woman? When they come, they both come wet and wild. Allah forgive me, brothers. Allah be my witness, I erased this and in my heart, I cried. I shivered. I screamed. I said, Ya Allah, is this what we can deduce from such a catastrophe? Is this the message that goes around amongst our youth? And the Nabi of Allah says, لا تدخلوا مساكن الذين ظلموا أنفسهم إلا أن تكونوا باكين. Then let it be a moment for you to reflect, to introspect, to ponder. And on the reverse, these are the comments that you hear. I was reading an incident in a kitab called Makhzan-e Akhlaq of Maulana Rahmatullah Subhani on page 226, just day before yesterday. I was reading this and I thought I share it with you. Maulana Rahmatullah Subhani makes mention of it in a kitab Makhzan-e Akhlaq on page 226. One day, on the authority of Mujahid Rahimahumullah, Mujahid Rahimahumullah says, one day we were sitting with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and then the discussion started regarding the virtues of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Brothers, keep focus. The virtues of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When they spoke about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's eyes became moist and he started weeping, he started sobbing uncontrollably. People asked him, "Oh Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what is the wisdom in your crying, in your tearing, in your sobbing?" He says, "You know, Sayyidina Umar, I with my own eyes have seen an incident in his life. I will never forget and I respect him for that throughout my life." We know who Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was. He was such a person in Hayat al-Sahaba, the riwayat appears. Nabi alayhi salam was sitting with his Sahaba and he told Sayyidina Umar, "What will happen to you when you will be lowered into your grave and two angels will appear before you? Aswatuhuma kal-ra'di, absaruhuma kal-barqi. Their voice like thunder, their sight like lightning. They will have a whoop in their hand. لو اجتمع عليه أهل مينا لم يطيقوا رفعها. If all the people of Mina try and lift it up, they won't be able to lift it. But this angel will have it in his hand. لو ضربك بها ضربة تصير بها رمادا. If they strike you once, you will become ashes." Sayyidina Umar said, "O Nabi of Allah, just answer one question. When I will be in my grave and all this will happen, will I be in my senses?" Nabi alayhi salam says, "Yes, you will be in your senses." He says, "O Nabi of Allah, then very calmly I will handle the situation. Very calmly I will handle the situation." Then in Hayat al-Sahaba, Mullah Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi adds on a riwayat, "Wazada Abdul Wahid fi kitabihi at-tabsir." Sayyidina Umar said this and he hardly, barely took few steps and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Come back, Umar." Then he said, "Jibreel came to me now and told me that when you will be lowered into your grave and these angels will appear before you, then you will tell those angels, Allahu Rabbi faman rabbukuma, wal Islamu dini fama dinukuma, wa Muhammadun nabiyyi faman nabiyyukuma." Islam, I give you the reference of the hadith, "Allah is my Lord, who is your Lord?" You will tell the angels, "Muhammad Sassim is my prophet, O angels, Munkar and Nakir, who is your prophet? And Islam is my deen, what is your deen?" The angels will say, "La nadri ursilna ilayka am anta ursilta ilayna." We don't know, has Allah sent us to question you or has Allah sent you to question us? Anyway, Sayyidina Umar Abdullah ibn Abbas says, we were sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi and in a discussion with Sayyidina Umar, when one woman came and she presented her child and she started sobbing. Sayyidina Umar said, "Pacify this woman, what's the problem?" She said, "I'm afraid and I feel ashamed to tell you the reality of this child." Sayyidina Umar said, "No, come forward and tell me what is it." When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, then he gathered everyone and he said that, "I want to make Umar in charge. What is your people's opinion?" Everybody said, "We are happy with him, only his sternness is a problem. His sternness." Subhanallah, what words Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said? He said, "If that is the only problem, I have no doubt the burden of Khilafat will soften him. I have no doubt the burden of Khilafat will soften him. It will bring him down. If that is the only thing," that is why the ulama say, Ibn Kathir, the riwayat is there, there were three intelligent people. There were three intelligent people. One was the minister of Egypt, who recognized the beauty of Yusuf and told his wife, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا. He recognized through his vision the integrity of this boy. He told his wife, "Take good care of him, he's a talented boy." The second was Sayyidina Shuayb alayhi salam, who recognized the talent of Musa and he presented his daughter in the wedlock of Musa alayhi salatu was salam. إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى بْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ عَلَىٰ أَن تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَجٍ. I wish to wed you to one of my daughters by the name of Safura, that you worked for me for 8 years as dowry. There's difference of opinion amongst the scholars if labor can serve as dowry, it's a topic of its own. And the third person that was an intelligent was Abu Bakr, who made Umar in charge at the time that he left this world. What a talented person, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Someone came to Umar and said, La anta khayrun min Abi Bakr. You are better than Abu Bakr. Somebody tells us, we say, next time say it louder. What were you saying? Just 1 minute, come here please. Mark, what were you saying? Yeah, subhanallah. Is that what we need to hear? Wallah, brothers, if we look deep down in our hearts and we look at who we are and how evil we are, I guess it is enough to bring that criticism right down. I read a very beautiful quotation. We tend to agree with everyone whose thoughts are in harmony with our inclinations, and we consider them to be true. We tend to agree with everyone whose thoughts are in harmony with our inclination, and we consider them to be true. And the opposite of that only provokes us, even if it be true. What deep words, what deep words. So Abu, what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? لَلَيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَوْمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عُمَرْ وَآلِ عُمَرٍ. The riwayat is in Hayatul Sahaba. لَلَيْلَةٌ مِّنْ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَيَوْمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عُمَرٍ. You saying I'm better than Abu Bakr? I'm afraid, just to set the records correctly, one night of Abu Bakr is better than Umar and his whole progeny. Abu Bakr, in Mishkat Jillatani, the riwayat is there. My mother's head was in the lap of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a moonlit night. Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha glances to the heavens. She says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any of your companions has so many good deeds equivalent to the stars? Without hesitation, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Umar. So she says, what about my father Abu Bakr? My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Innama jami'u hasanati Umar ka hasanatin waqidatin min hasanati Abi Bakr. Mishkat Jillathani, the manaqib of Abu Bakr. All the good of Umar is like one good deed of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas says, this woman came, she presented her child. And then she started crying. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, pacify her. What is the matter? Ask her, what is the matter? She said, will you hear me out? Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will hear you out. I'm sorry to tell you, I've given you the reference of this year where I've come across it. I tried to make some further, reference to it from this kitab, but I couldn't find further reference. Nonetheless, it serves the message that needs to be conveyed. Your son Abu Shahma one day was intoxicated. And he came and he seduced me. And he committed the act of zina. And as a result of that fornication, I conceived. When the child was born, I was going to kill the child, but then my mother would overpower me and I kept the child. Out of shame that my nation will embarrass me and condemn me, I never took it up with the seniors of my family. But my guilt and my morality and my integrity pricks me and hurts me. And I've come to you, here I am, and this is the reality of your son. Please decide between us in the name of the Book of Allah. Allahu Akbar. What a daunting task. Anbiya alayhimus salam were tested on every front. Raising children in this time has taken a toll on every individual. Allah's qasam, no man is too learned, no man is too pious. It has taken a toll on every individual. You open my heart, and if I pour out my fears, and I pour out my anxiety, and my concern regarding my children, I guess you will take solace from my fears. Sayyidina Umar says, don't move from here. I'm coming back now. He goes back home. He says, Abu Shahma was eating. He says, oh my son Abu Shahma, eat that mussel, perhaps it be your last. Allahu Akbar. Oh my son Abu Shahma, eat that mussel, perhaps it be your last. When that woman Fatima Makhzumiya stole, and then they came to my Nabi and they said, tell Usama ibn Zayd, Hibbu Rasulillah, the riwayat of Bukhari, my Nabi was reclining alayhi salatu min Allahi wa taslimat. And then he said, O Nabi of Allah, Fatima Makhzumiya is guilty of theft. Perhaps if you can exempt her in relation to her profile and her noble personality and make some flexibility and concession in the matter. فَتَلَوَّنَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. My Nabi's face started turning colors and he became pale. And he got up And he said, Waymullah, listen. Have you ever studied the destruction of the previous nations? It was when they differentiated between the elite and the ordinary in implementing the orders of Allah. That was when the decline came in Bani Israel. وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ I swear by that Allah who is in charge of my life. لَوْ كَانَتْ فَاتِمَةٌ بِنْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ سَرَقَتْ لَقَتَعْتُ يَدَهَا Leave this Fatima. If my Fatima, I can speak for an hour comfortably inshallah on who Fatima was in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. How much my Nabi loved her. How dear she was. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I read the riwayat myself. My Fatima is so close to me and she is so modest that when she will stand up on the day of Qiyamah, an announcer will announce, O people, lower your gaze, Fatima wants to cross. Every man will be compelled to drop his gaze and the queen of the woman of Jannah will then walk. My Nabi said, if this Fatima steals, I will chop her hands. Let the world know the order of Allah will prevail even at the cost of the hands of the daughter of the beloved of Allah. Ideal concession when it comes to ourselves. Where is adl in our life? Qadi Shuraih, one of the greatest chief justices in the annals of Islamic history. He's seen people abusing their woman. What did he say? رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ فَشُلَّتْ يَمِينِي حِينَ أَضْرِبُ زَيْنَبًا أَأَضْرِبُهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ أَتَتْ بِهِ فَمَا الْعَقْلُ قَاضِي شُرَيْح, one of the greatest chief justices in the annals of Islamic history. He's seen people abusing their woman. What did he say? رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ رَأَيْتُ رِجَالًا يَضْرِبُونَ نِسَاءَهُمْ فَشُلَّتْ يَمِينِي حِينَ أَضْرِبُ زَيْنَبًا أَأَضْرِبُهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ ذَنْبٍ أَتَتْ بِهِ فَمَا الْعَدْلُ مِنِّي ضَرْبُ مَنْ لَيْسَ مُذْنِبًا فَزَيْنَبُ شَمْسٌ وَالنِّسَاءُ كَوَاكِبُ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ لَمْ تُبْدِ مِنْهُنَّ كَوْكَبًا What couplets? I will digress if I elaborate on these couplets. And I don't wish to digress. We are at a very sensitive juncture of the discussion. Let us return back to the point of discussion. Abu Shukma, eat that mussel. Perhaps it be your last. Perhaps it be your last. Sayyidina Umar was very, very vocal in implementing the hudud. You read the ahadith of Rajab. The ahadith of Rajab that appears in Bukhari and then is stoning. لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم الا باحدى ثلاث الطيب الزاني والنفس بالنفس والتارك لدينه المفارق للجماعه That it is only lawful to take the life of a Muslim on three instances. الطيب الزاني, when a married person makes zina. We had recently where people were saying that it doesn't appear in the Quran. Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه used to say, الا ان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قد رجم ورجم ابو بكر ورجمنا بعده فأخشى إن طالب الناس زمان فأخشى إن طالب الناس زمان أن يقولوا قائلون I fear by the passing of time. Remember we pelted, Allah's Nabi is pelted. And this was a practice established from Quran and Hadith. I fear by the passage of time, people will say we read the Quran cover to cover. There is no indication of stoning. فَيَظِلُّ بِتَرْكِ فَرِيضَةٍ أَنزَلَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ And that nation will be deviated from the truth. Who abandoned the injunction of stoning when someone has been found guilty of the crime. Nabi alayhi salam has said, إِقَامَةُ حَدٍّ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ إِقَامَةُ حَدٍّ in the riwayat of Targhib, إِقَامَةُ حَدٍّ مِّنْ حُدُودِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ مَطَرِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا فِي بِلَدِ اللَّهِ It is better to establish this penalty in any locality than 40 days of beneficial rain for that place. I came direct from the airport from Cape Town. I was told now, that there is major water restrictions. The hadith says, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu is the narrator of the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, مَا مِنْ قَوْمٍ يَذْهَرُ فِيهِمُ الزِّنَا إِلَّا أُخِذُوا بِالسَّنَا A nation in which zina becomes common, Allah will grab them with drought. Allah will grab them with drought. When Nabi alayhi salam cursed the people of Makkah, what curse did he make? اللهم اجعلها عليهم سنين كسني يوسف Allah inflict upon them a drought and a famine similar to that which came upon the Egyptians in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam. Abu Shukma, eat that mussel, perhaps it be your last. He dropped the muscle. What's the matter, oh my father? Fear Allah and speak. Did you ever take wine in your life once? Yes, oh my father, I had taken. While you were the influence of this year, and you were in this condition, and you were drunk, did you perpetrate the act of zina? Yes, my father, I had done this. Okay, then come out. The order of Allah has to be executed. He tells the Sahaba in Masjid, you sit here. You do not move from here. Allahu Akbar. What a clash of emotion. He takes his son. He tells his slave, now remove his clothes in a manner that he will be now lashed. He comes forward himself. And he starts lashing him. فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا فَجْلِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدَةً وَلَا تَقْبَلُوا لَهُمْ شَهَادَةً أَبَدًا الزَّانِيَةُ وَالزَّانِ فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِئَةَ جَلْدًا وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. I wish you could comprehend the sentiments echoed in this verse where Allah conscientizes you and asks you, are you a guardian first or are you a believer first? Are you a father first or are you a Muslim first? Allah says, let not sentiments grip you. Let not passion envelope you. Let not mercy overcome you when you are lashing them in establishing the order of Allah, be it your son or anyone else. What a test upon Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But how successfully they went through these different phases of life. As he starts carrying out this order of Allah very diligently, one cannot adequately translate the emotions in the heart of Sayyidina Umar. He had come to a point that his son had become weak. I quote, according to this kitab, many sahaba came to intervene and they said, okay, you can give the remaining lashes at a later time. Let's just have a breather period. Let's just break. Let's have an interval. And then you can resume and lash him. Sayyidina Umar says, when he did not delay in disobeying Allah, why should I delay in executing the order of Allah against him? That is the words in the kitab. When there wasn't delay in the guna, why should there be delay in the punishment? Allahu Akbar. As he starts hitting him, the wife comes to hear. The wife runs out to intervene. A sensitive juncture. Brothers, we have a dilemma in our homes that our wife complains the children were naughty. We tend to hit the children, the wife interjects. We come to a point of frustration. Do I hit? Don't I hit? If I hit, leave me. If I mustn't, don't tell me. As simple as that. But you know, this year that do something and then you interceding, it just doesn't help the situation. Leave me and let me hit him and do what I need to do. The wife comes out. She holds Umar. It's our child after all. It's our child after all. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, nobody is going to soften him in this regard. When it came to the orders, أَشَدُّهُمْ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Umar, we are in the khutbah. أَشَدُّهُمْ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ Umar, the most stern when it came to the orders of Allah. As it came to the latter part, I quote on the reference of this kitab, Sayyidina Umar then went to his son and he said, Abu Shukma, it became very fatal and very critical and it was become evident that now death is apparent. He says, Oh my son, when you die and you meet my Nabi, give him my salams and tell him, I let you leave this world while establishing the order of Allah. Oh my son, when you meet my Nabi, give him my salams and tell him while establishing the order of Allah, I let you leave this world. Then the son looked at the father, I quote on the strength of this kitab, Ya Abati, Assalamu alaik. Oh my father, may the peace of Allah descend upon you. He hits the final lash, which claimed the life of this person. He runs and he hugs this child. He then kisses his child. He says, oh my child, may my life be sacrificed for you. I admire you, you died for haqq. Oh my son, I admire you, you died for haqq. Lamitatun fi ta'atillah, my Nabi said, Lamitatun fi ta'atillah, khayrun min hayatin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. Dying obeying Allah is better than, dying while obeying Allah is better than living while disobeying Allah. Obeying Allah and dying, that is better for you than living and disobeying Allah. Lamitatun fi ta'atillah, khayrun min hayatin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. He then lifted his own son, gave ghusl and kafan to his own son, and led the janazah of that own led the janazah of his own son. Friends and elders, when this was the price for deen to be preserved, for orders of Allah to be established, then he became Umar. What will be their rank in Jannat? Allah forgive us. What is the condition of infidelity in our life? What is the condition of zina in our life? Never mind our children, let us look into our own lives. It is time we reflect. It is these things that are bringing the azab of Allah. I was once in California. We were driving in San Francisco. Brother took me to visit one masjid, ancient building that had some Islamic history and heritage in the heart of San Francisco. When I seen the evil taking place, zina around you, in front of you, inviting, tempting, daring, challenging, inviting in the following words, take a bite of the forbidden fruits. This was the exact invitation, take a bite of the forbidden fruits. What does Allah say regarding the nation of Lut alayhi salam? وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ وَأَنْتُمْ تُبَصِرُونَ. You perpetrate the crime, that's one, but you do it in public. Allah speaks of five azab that came on this nation. Why? Because of zina, because of immorality. فَطَمَسْنَا أَعْيُنَهُمْ. We blinded them. صَبَّحَهُمْ بُكْرَةً عَذَابٌ مُسْتَقِيرٌ. They were seized by a punishment. جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا. We toppled that nation. And the wisdom of toppling them, ulama, right? Because their action was upside down. Allah turned them upside down. أَتَأْتُونَ الذُّكْرَانَ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. So really, brothers, we have to take stock of our lives, the direction in which we are moving, the goals we've given to our children, the wrong that we are condoning. We've seen it happening. To an extent, we have a share in it. Nabi alayhi salam says, as soon as they assume responsibility, get them married. Do not delay in nikah. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ. تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ, not فِي الْبَيْتِ, فِي الْأَرْضِ. If a good proposal comes and you decline, after declining, that will lead to corruption on the entire world, not only in your house. وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ. The ulama write under the commentary of this hadith that the fish in the ocean make dua. لَيُصَلُّونَ عَلَىٰ مُعَلِّمِ النَّاسِ الْخَيْرِ. They invoke the mercy of Allah upon those who tutor humanity with goodness, those who disseminate nobility to people. Why do this creation make dua? Why does this creation invoke the mercy of Allah and are well wishes to insan? Why? Because this is the significant creation. It is upon their actions that Allah will decide conditions. If their actions are in conformity with Allah, never mind them, we all will benefit, be it the fish in the ocean or the animals in the jungle. And if they disobey Allah, then the conditions that will come down, like it comes in one hadith, Allah says, خَيْرِ إِلَيْكُمْ نَازِلْ. That the best from me comes to you, yet the worst from you comes to me. خَيْرِ إِلَيْكُمْ نَازِلْ. The best from me comes, Allah gives us health, Allah gives us wealth, Allah gives us nobility, Allah gives us beautiful children. Man-made zina. The other day one youngster came to me and he's speaking about infidelity, how he's been involved, how he got hooked on, how easy it is today, how common it is today, what a big fitna it is. He says, every time I come to my partner, I feel guilty. It hurts me, it bothers me, it pricks me, but I cannot abandon my wrong. Allah doesn't deprive you of a normal child because of that zina. Allah blesses you still with a normal child in the relation with your wife. Whereas the Quran says, مُخَلَّقَةٍ أَمْ غَيْرِ مُخَلَّقَةٍ. When the child has been formed, the angel asks Allah, must we make it normal or abnormal? Decides. If Allah wanted, Allah says, well, the parents both have abused their sight. Deprive him of eyes. They both are looking at, she's looking at haram. At the time when Allah is deciding, Allah says, give him eyes and give him the best of eyes. Allah, do we deprive? How Allah's system, and this system of Allah operates for Fir'aun also, and for Musa, for Nabi, and for Abu Jahl also. No differentiation in the tartib of Allah. Allah blesses you with a normal child. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرْ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Allah speaks about how He can snatch your abilities away from you in your youth. And this is something I really want to speak to my young brothers. How Allah can snatch that sight. As I spoke in the opening comments of my talk, the youngsters very ideally plan a life of sin to suit them. Things happen for them as they so plan. Things materialize in the direction they go. They foolishly think it's happening because we're planning. So I'll pick you up, we'll go here, meet this woman, go to movies, do whatever needs to be done. They plan it, and they assume it's happening because I've planned. I've decided this time it will happen, it will happen. One day when Allah withholds, and this is what Allah says in this verse, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ بَعْدَ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Allah created you, then inevitably death will grip you. But some of you are those that He can repeat childhood with you in your latter part of your life. Then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ. Allah is knowledgeable and Allah has might. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, the wisdom of these two qualities mentioned here, that Allah is mighty, Allah can bring this condition on a young boy, strip him of all his faculties, deprive him of all his abilities, and Allah has such strength that Allah can restore and keep those faculties in an old man even after he's past 80 and 90. That is the wisdom of speaking of Qadir, yeah? That Allah has the might, Allah can give it. One person, great orator, great Khalil, Sibuain, he says, I met رأيت أعرابيا قد بلغ عمره 120 سنة. I met a villager 120 years old. I admired him for his health. I said, Subhanallah, what beautiful health. What's the word? What is the formula? What's the secret? He says, تركت الحسد فبقيته. I don't have a jealousy for any individual, and because of that, Allah gave me perpetual good health. I don't know what is sickness. My heart is not an abode of any malice. كُلُّ عَدَاوَةٍ قَدْ تُرْجَى إِزَالَتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةُ مَنْ عَادَاكَ مِنْ حَسَدٍ. There is hope every enmity will come to an end, but the enmity which is a result of jealousy. There is hope that every enmity will come to an end, but that enmity which comes as a result of jealousy. So brothers, this youth, this talent that Allah has given us, and we've seen youngsters. I was one day coming back, I was in Paris at the airport waiting for a connecting flight. So you know, there are so many things we can look around us and reflect. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. There are so many signs in the skies and the earth, which man sees but ideally ignores, yet only if he reflects he can learn so much. I seen there was a group of youngsters that were traveling, and I found that they were surrounded by a lot of elderly people. So when I went to the washroom, or to the restroom as they call it there, I guess that's the only time they get to rest. Like someone said it. So I seen them coming, both of them, there were about 5-10 youngsters, all of them, both their hands were cut off. They had no hands. So when it came to time to, you know, press that water, you know, as you just press it and you make wuzu, and I seen the youngster coming and hitting his shoulder against that tap, pressing it for the water to come out, and then trying to just rinse his face. There's no hands. And he hit it there, and for a moment I sat and I thought and I reflected. And I said, Ya Allah, how much wrong haven't I done with these hands of mine? How much haven't I advanced towards haram? As the Quran says, وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَ شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. These hands will speak up and say, how many women you have touched, these hands will speak up. These eyes will say, how much haram you have looked at. Brothers, I know my wrong, you know your wrong. I was reading a very beautiful kitab on the final advices of Imam Ghazali to one of his very dedicated students. I haven't actually formally started, but I will end off, inshallah. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, gave few advices to one of his students as he was departing. It is written that Taqareer Imam Ghazali, and in that, the last part of that kitab is devoted to advices to his student. He told him, he says, علامه اعراض الله تعالى عن العبد اشتغاله فيما لا يعني. The sign that Allah has turned his attention away from any servant is when that individual engages in things that are futile. When that individual engages in things that are futile, he does things that are not constructive. وَمَنْ ذَهَبَتْ سَاعَتُهُ فِي شَيْءٍ. And that person who devotes his time to something other than that for which Allah has created him, then that is the saddest moment in his life. That is the saddest moment in his life. Sometimes you take your car for a wash, and it's necessary, I guess, you need to be clean. You look at the pride in which those youngsters clean that car. They walk around, they make tawaf, they go under, on top. As the Quran speaks regarding the camel of Salih alayhi salam. What does the Quran say? وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابٌ قَرِيبٌ. That don't touch this camel with an evil hand, otherwise you will see something you never thought of. Now you see these youngsters, as you draw closer to that car, the pride, the possession, the obsession, the crave. And yet on the other hand, we find people that take that pride with their cars and are loose with their daughters, are casual with their woman. And the Nabi of Allah says, الديوت, الديوت. Who is a dayyut? A cuckold. Who is a cuckold? الَّذِي يَدْخُلُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ الرِّجَالِ. That man who doesn't mind strange boys talk to his daughters, strange men greet his wife, he doesn't have a problem with that, never mind Jannat, he'll be deprived of even the fragrance of Jannat. Don't come near my car. There's my wife, you can get. Since when has this ummah began introducing its women to strangers? Have we stooped so low? Have we started borrowing the morals of others that deep? Just to meet you, this is my wife. I know of an incident personally when a man came home and he's crying and he says, Malana, I thought I was a father of four. I realize I'm a father of three. The fourth one, I'm the uncle and not the father. My brother is the father of that child. My brother is the father of that child. When precaution doesn't... I mentioned this, brothers. You can perhaps bear me out on this here. As long as there is lust and there is jealousy in any human, let precaution take its course. And I guess those are inseparable things from any human. As long as there is lust and there is jealousy, let precaution take its course. Don't say, no, he's a reliable man, I don't have to worry, my daughter is here, I can just leave the money. No man is exempted from these weaknesses. That subtle things that hits every... No man is exempted. Let precaution take its course. Let precaution take its course. So the youth, the talent that Allah has given us, let us not engage in things that are futile. I'm going to mention one story briefly. I run you through it, the incident of the Quran, and then I terminate. Allah speaks about two brothers in the Quran, young boys in Bani Israel, with reference to Madarik al-Tanzeel. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. The father dies, they inherit 8,000 dinars according to the riwayat of Madarik al-Tanzeel, also in the Hashya of Jalalain it is mentioned. They take this estate, what they inherit from the father. The one takes the first 1,000 and he purchases the land. The other one takes his 1,000 and he gives it in charity. He says, Allahumma inna fulanan qad ishtara ardan wa inni ashtari minka ardan fil jannah. Allah, my brother bought a land here, he's developing it here. Allah, I'm buying a land from you in Jannah, you develop for me a day in Jannah. And he gave 1,000 in charity. Two young boys in the prime of their life. After their father died, they took a different route. The parents were one, the upbringing was one, but we see they end up differently. Then the other brother, the first one, he bought a very beautiful house and he developed it, another 1,000 dinars. The other one said, Allahumma inna fulanan qad ishtara daran wa inni ashtari minka daran fil jannah. Allah, he bought a house. I'm buying a house from you in Jannah, and he gave it in charity. Then he got married. So this one said, Allah, I am proposing to one of the women of Jannah. وزوجناهم بحور عين وزوجناهم بحور عين. Allah speaks about the woman. If you only know the riwayat of Bukhari, لَنَصِيفُهَا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. A topic that is dear to us all, I guess. The hurs of Jannat, the maidens of Jannat, the damsels of Jannat, حُرٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ, well guarded in their pavilions. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ, no human, no jinn has ever touched them. لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ, pure from every form of impurity. Nabi alayhi salam says, there will only be jusha'un above, and that will also have a pleasant smell in Jannat. So he says, Allah, I proposed to a woman in Jannat. Then this person employed many people. He said, Allah, I am spending another 1,000 dinars, you decorate my Jannat. The first one became a multi-millionaire, things worked out for him, materially prospered, he advanced, developed, expanded, grew, and as is the economic growth of the world, it carries on and on. It doesn't come to an end. The other one apparently went into poverty, went into penury, went into adversity, went into difficulty. One day the wealthy brother happens to pass by, and you must see as the Quran paints his picture. The first one, as the Quran says, we gave him two gardens. حَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ, surrounded with date palms. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا, and a farm in between. كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا, both gardens gave forth its produce in full measure. وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا, never fell short. وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا, and a river flowing beneath it, in between it. كِلْتَ الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهَرًا. Then one day he meets his brother. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. This is a very key issue. Allah says he enters into his garden with great pride and arrogance. You know, you see these people. Mawlana, you must come and see my new place. No problem, we'll come. But the pride is so much. In the end, he shows you the toilet. Oh, show me the house, show me the... But you know, everything, what everything we got... Now I've decided on principle. I was in America and I went to this brother's house. He called me to come see his steel plant. And I had a look, he said, make dua. I said, I'll first make dua. What dua must I make? For barakat, or that if you're on interest, then I must make dua, you must leave it now. We're making dua for barakat, but Allah's curse is on the man. His dealings are not right. He's on interest. What dua of barakat can we make? Anyway, that was the next day was my last bayan. And I said, this is my opportunity in my moral obligation that I seize the opportunity and I speak against interest. And I spoke about it in a very diplomatic way, but he realized, I hope that inshallah he had made arrangements onwards to come out of it. And you know what was the best part of it? He says, no, I spoke to my family, they just need to bear with me for 10 years. He said, just 10 years and I'll be over with it. I was one day flying back from Malawi, so there was a doctor on the flight. So anyway, he was there for my program, there was a masjid opening there, so he came, he says, Mawlana, no, it was nice. So I said, oh, doctor, how are you? Were you practicing? He says, no, I gave up my practice. Oh, okay, what's the reason? He says, I couldn't live up to inflation. I said, all right, now just simplify that for me. Now, you couldn't live up to inflation. What do you mean by that? You know, we talk of inflation when you inflate in your tires in the car. And that's the inflation we understand about the tires. Anyway, he says that I couldn't live up to inflation. What do you mean by this here? He says, 3 years ago, I bought an S-Class Mercedes. And 3 years later, I couldn't afford to buy the same Mercedes. So I realized I'm not living up to inflation, so I went into business. I said, how sad if this is the intention with which our businessmen enter and venture into trade. If this is the reason behind us going into business, commerce and trade. Whereas the Nabi of Allah said, if you go with the right reason, you return from the path of Allah. The only reason that I'm not living up to inflation, imagine this has become a goal in the life of an individual. All needs covered, all luxuries secured, all international destinations and you know travels. I'm not living up to inflation has become an aspiration in the heart of this ummati. So now he left his profession and he's gone into business. Anyway, he enters into his garden. The Quran says, ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, while he harmed none but himself. And that's my message to you, young boy. While you sit in your car and you flash your music and you flash your mags and you arrogantly spike your hair and you ignore the azan and you snub the alim and you let your mother cry as you leave the house, Allah says you enter that car harming yourself and none but yourself. You do not harm your mother, She will cry and her mother will leave her crying. Allah's qasam, we've seen women crying. I was afraid she will die crying. But to no avail, to no avail. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ You enter oppressing yourself, my brother. What does he say? قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا I doubt this garden will ever be destroyed. I doubt this car will ever be smashed as it stands. We see the speed. We drive at speed, brothers. Person passes away in an accident, we ideally interpret it as martyrdom. But if he has trespassed the speed limit and he has deliberately done things that are wrong, there is fear of suicide. And the ulama say that if a person sleeps on the edge of a thin roof, where he perhaps can fall deliberately, if he falls from there, it's a suicide death. In the grounds of death, I am saying this. You know, there was a youngster, I was going for a program. What a fast driver, never in my life I seen it. First time he came to fetch me, we were rushing for a bayan. I said, I doubt we both will make it for that bayan. I didn't know him, but anyway, at such speed. He says, Maulana, relax, I know the car and the car knows the road. I took it, you know, to be honest, if I tell you, from the time he started putting speed, I started taking out sadqa. What I started with and what I ended with, you don't want to know the figures. Wallahi, never, 240 he was taking those bends. 240. I'm not, wallahi, in my heart I said, Ya Allah, this is my time up. Maulana, relax, I know the car and the car knows the roads. Brothers, what do we achieve? What do we achieve with this? Where do we reach with this arrogance? So the Quran says you harm yourself. Anyway, he comes to his brother. I can explore it, but I will briefly cut it short. He meets his brother. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا Sahib Jalalin writes, يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنْ يُفَاخِرُهُ He says, oh, what happened to you now? Where you got lost? أنت من المتصدقين Oh, you gave charity. Oh, okay, right. I guess you got something happening that side in paradise for you. وَإِذَا رَأُوهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَظَالُّونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ When they see the believers, they wink eyes, they snub, they insult, they comment. Allah says, let them laugh, let them laugh. Tomorrow you sit on my throne next to me and you laugh at them burning in Jahannam. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ Allah says, not tomorrow, today, فَالْيَوْمَ Today you sit next to me, keep your beard, my brother, accept the criticism of the world, resist the criticism. Allah says, you sit next to me and you laugh at him burning in Jahannam. فَاتَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ قَالَتَ اللَّهِ إِن كِدْتَ لَتُرْدِينَ وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ So he tells his brother, look at my wealth, look at what I got, what happened to you? You got nothing. So his brother says, listen my brother, you went well and you got a lot of money. I don't have a problem with the money you have. I don't have the problem with the affluence, but I do have a major problem with your attitude. I don't have a problem with your money, flash it. I have a problem with your attitude. قَالَ لَهُ صَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ You've gone so arrogant. You've gone so haughty. Never mind me. You're challenging Allah. You don't respect the azan while you drive past. There are so many youth. I was one day speaking to some youth in America. Different religious groups. So I told them. I said, look here, so many of you are waiting to mature that you can arrogantly light a cigarette in public and no one can tell you. You can hold a bottle of wine and officially walk into a pub. No one can tell you anything. And so many of you are waiting to mature that you can take the musalla and lead the congregation. Those who are the latter category, Allah's qasam, they're in reward from now. Those that belong to the first category, they are in guna from now. How many are waiting to mature but with diverse aspirations? وَإِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى Allah says, as the sun rises, every man has a different goal ahead of him. Some are those whose goals bring them closer to Allah. Others stand up with a dead list that takes them away from Allah. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى Allah opens up the boat. So he tells him, my brother, I don't have a problem with what you have. I have a problem with your attitude. Then he said, listen to me now properly. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَنْ يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ If you think I have nothing, I think inshallah Allah will give me better than what you have in akhirat. And by the way, I foresee a divine torment coming very soon to ruin whatever you own. I foresee a divine torment coming. The next day he says this and they separate. But drown in his arrogance, in his haughtiness. And ah, he's jealous of me because his son can't drive a car like this here. So that's why stop, he's telling me this here. Now, uncle, you enjoyed your life, let us enjoy ours. Not a matter of enjoy it. My brother, we did the wrong thing. We don't want you to do the wrong thing. Why must you repeat the wrong of what that uncle did? So what happens? Allah says, فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ سَعِيدًا زَلَقًا أَوْ يُصْبِحَ مَاؤُهَا غَوْرًا فَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ In the night the divine fire came and destroyed everything. He got up turning, كَفَّي of sauce, turning his palms. And he's saying, يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا I wish I had never ascribed partners with Allah. What did the Quran say? هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ أي هُنَالِكَ عُلِمَ أَنَّ الْوَلَايَةَ لِلَّهِ At that juncture, it became apparent that sovereignty belongs to Allah. It belongs to Allah at every time. But when Allah destroyed, he realized, I'm not in control. The day you get up and there's a severe pain, Allah forbid. أو يأخذهم في تقلبهم. Now you realize that health is not because what you eat and you do, it's because Allah gave it. Today you also ate, today you also slept, but you just cannot get up. So what happens? He says, I wish I had not made shirk. But that was not as a result of regretting, but as a result of the harm that came to his dunya. Like for example, you go meet a man, you tell him, bye, we're going to the masjid, join us. He said, no, I'll come. You carry on to do. I know, you'll have a bayan there. And then after you go, then somebody comes and mugs him and robs him. After namaz, he says, hey, I should have joined you people. But that is joining for the wrong reasons, so that I shouldn't have been mugged. This is exactly what the Quran says. I wish I had not made shirk, so that this had not happened to me. Brothers, I could have said much more, but whatever little Allah put in my heart, I poured it out to you. May Allah Ta'ala guide myself, you and one and all. May Allah Ta'ala let us return as different youth. Let us take this opportunity, repent to Allah, cry to Allah, ponder over our past, beg Allah for forgiveness, and embrace a life of piety. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي الهاشمي المكي المدني وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم اهد شباب المسلمين واجعلهم هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم اهد نساء المسلمين اللهم ارزقهن الحياء والعفاف والإيمان اللهم ارزقهن الحياء والعفاف والإيمان اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا اللهم أصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا في كل خير والموت راحة لنا من كل شر Oh Allah, forgive our sins, oh Allah. Forgive our minor and our major sins, oh Allah. Allah, I guess neither the skies nor the earth has seen more evil individuals than us, Allah. Allah, we are running towards Jahannam, Allah. Allah, we beg you, hold us by our hands, Allah. Allah, as that father needs to hold that stubborn child, Allah. Allah, hold us tight, Allah. Allah, we ran towards everything. It disgraced us. It depressed us. Oh Allah, now we need to come to you, Allah. Oh Allah, take us towards you. As Nabi alayhi salam said, وَخُذْ بِنَوَاصِينَا إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى Allah, hold us by our foreheads and steer us to you, Allah. Allah, you make us, Allah, make us beloved to you and you become our beloved, oh Allah. Oh Allah, let us see that which brings us closer to you, Allah. Allah, bring our youth back home safe and sound, Allah. Allah, those very youngsters this very night that are sitting in the lap of a strange woman with a bottle of wine in their hand and dining at some club, Allah. Allah, you give them a shiver in their back and bring them home, Allah.
Allah make them with sajda marks on their forehead, that we see simahum fi wujuhihim min athari sujood. Allah let those parents sigh with relief. Allah those mothers that are crying, those fathers that are crying, those that have become aged and sick in the process, Allah let them sigh with relief. Bring our youngsters home, Allah. Allah bring morality into our sisters, Allah. Allah bring integrity into our sisters, Allah. Allah, which way do we turn, Allah? In which what time has our eyes opened up, Allah? Everywhere we look, it is haram. Allah, we barely exit from our house and we expose and we vulnerable. Allah, we barely go somewhere and we only listen to haram. Ya Allah, our sight is gone, our hearing is gone. There's no organ of ours but that it has been contaminated with your disobedience, Allah. Allah, we haven't yet intended to giving up sins, Allah. When will we give it up, Allah? We haven't yet intended to abandon sin, Allah. Allah, in my entire life, if I look, there isn't one day where I've totally diligently obeyed you, Allah. Allah, how will I present before you, my Allah? Allah, how many youngsters have died in this way, Allah? How many have died going towards clubs? How many have died with strange women in their laps, Allah? How many have died after taking a pill, Allah? Allah, you make it easy for them in their qabr, Allah. Allah, you make it easy for them, Allah. Allah, save us from such a death, Allah. Allah, save us from a death in a club, Allah. Allah, save us from a death in the lap of a strange woman, Allah. Allah, save us from a death while signing a fraudulent check, Allah. Allah, save us from a death while dining with haram people, Allah. Allah, Allah, let us live a life of piety and nobility, Allah. Allah, let it be in Medina, Allah. Let it be on Friday, Allah. And give us place next to your Nabi, Allah. Allah, give us sand next to your Nabi, Allah. Allah, give us land next to your Nabi, Allah. Allah, let our day start with Quran. Let it end with Quran. Allah, bring muhabbat in our lives. Allah, remove jealousy from our lives, Allah. Allah, remove malice from our lives. Allah, materialism has blinded us, Allah. If we cannot differentiate between father and brother in this grave for materialism, Allah, bless us with divine contentment, Allah. Allah, where are we going and how long will we carry on? This is like a car that is out of control, Allah. Allah, this car is out of control. Someone will have to stop and hold this car, otherwise every inmate will be destroyed. And I guess it will destroy so many others, it will smash into Allah. Allah, this car is out of control. And it's not out of control for days or months. The scar of this ummah is out of control for decades, Allah. Allah, this car is out of for decades, Allah. Allah, this ummah has taken the wrong turn, Allah. Allah, bring this ummah back on its road, Allah. Allah, return this ummah safely, Allah. Allah, you make it easy for us, Allah. Allah, bring honesty in our tradesmen, Allah. Allah, bring loyalty in our businessmen, Allah. Allah, bring respect and dignity between employer and employee, Allah. Allah, just as our youth have gathered here, Allah, let them gather in numbers much more than this, Allah, for your deen, Allah, and take them across the world, Allah. Allah, when other youngsters are not shaved, looking like degrading themselves, not even looking like humans, Allah, give us the ability to reflect your beautiful sunnah, Allah, in this hostile environment, Allah. Allah, we have nothing. I guess the little beard that perhaps we are keeping in this environment of hostility, maybe, Allah, it becomes a means of securing your joy, Allah. Allah, let us revive the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam and bring us close to you, Allah. Allah, you raise our children with piety, Allah. Allah, we cannot do, if it was as a result of what we did, Allah, then they all would have come up the same, Allah. But we gave them all the equal upbringing. Some became pious, some did not become. That makes us understand it's not our upbringing, it's not our tarbiyah, but rather it is your choice, Allah. Allah, we openly acknowledge, Allah, loudly, clearly, explicitly, vividly, emphatically, Allah, that we are helpless, we are hopeless, we are defenseless, Allah. We acknowledge every wrong, we admit every sin, we beg for every kindness. Allah, hold our children, Allah. Allah, hold them tight, Allah. Allah, hold them firm, Allah. Allah, hug our children, Allah. Allah, we taught them everything but you, Allah. Allah, put your greatness in their heart, Allah. Look after them, Allah. Allah, don't test us. Let not our children die before us, Allah. Give them barakat in their lives. Give them health in their lives. Give them prosperity. Those of our daughters that are of marriageable age, grant them suitable partners, Allah. Allah, those of the youngsters that are married, bless them with normal, healthy, beautiful children, Allah. Allah, those that are desirous of a job, bless them with good provisions of Allah. Allah, those of our parents that are alive, give us the ability to serve them, Allah. Respect them, Allah. Allah, let us honor them, Allah. Allah, you give them a befitting reward, Allah. Allah, you reward my parents, especially in all my asatiza, by whom you have given me this beautiful deen, Allah. Allah, let us adequately discharge the obligation of the samanat that you have given us upon us, O Allah. O Allah, let us lead our children by example, Allah. Allah, let us become good role models for them, Allah. Let us become exemplary parents, Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin masta'adhaka minhu 'abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam antal musta'an wa 'alaykal balagh la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-'aliyyil 'azhim subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin.